We are on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Aleph. I don't remember exactly where we got to. I would know we were in middle or finished the section of the guy who made the netter. Yanki, you know how exactly where we got to?
No. First one.
We're talking about the guy that made a netter. The guy should come eat by him. If not, it'll be us, sir. I'll do that tomorrow again. Touch him out. Which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 line from the bottom. Touch him out, Nidre Eitzen. The Mishnah talks about a netter that kicked him because of an Eitzen. So it's not considered a netter. His friend said, I ban you in pleasure if you don't eat by me. And the guy couldn't go eat there because he or his son was ill, or there was a raging river that stopped him. So the halacha is, it's not a netter. But if not for that netter, who would have been considered a netter, even though this is talking about getting a guy to eat. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said that's called Zuzin. So it must be that Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Zuzin happy. Elala, Rabbanan, who please you. And for the Gemara of Olam, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It's going like, I'm sorry, like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But the case we have is not the right case. Do you think that the case is talking about that the inviter after the invitee? Like, this Mina Adri Lemazamna, the one who wanted to go eat, made a netter to the one who was he wanted to get invited to. The case is, the Amalei Mazamna Sleeve Sudasek, are you inviting me to your Suda? So he said, yes, Amalei in. So he said, Neder Zalacha, are you willing to have this netter? Meaning that if I don't eat by you, I guess that is, and Marash said something that they wanted to invite him somewhere else, and he wanted to eat here. So he said, if I don't eat by you, you should be usher in my pleasure. I mean, I guess he would rather eat here. So he really meant the netter. He wanted the netter because he wanted to eat here, not by somebody else. He wanted this guy to have him, not somebody else. So there, it's a real netter. Zuck the rush. Zemina hu da adre le mezamne. Hamezuman, the invitee, the guest, big ash le mezamne, she has me new. He asked the host to invite him. The sudasai. The amalai in. Said yes. Said net is alecha da zamnes. Dasminus, is this a netter on you that you will invite me? Meaning, if you don't invite me, you should be asher my ana. Amalai, I'm zuma lemezamen. Medayni minuchas, I'm just the opposite. Sorry. Amalai in. Netter is alecha da zamnes. Is this netter on you that I invited you? Meaning, are you willing to make the netter that you will come by me? He wanted to invite him to another meal. So here, this is not to make him diligent. He wanted to eat there. It wasn't that he needed any prodding to eat there. But this is the netter that he made to... I'm trying to figure... I mean, I'll be honest, it's a very hard... Let me try it again. The mezuman asked the mezamein he should invite him. Okay, so the guest asked the host to invite him. Yes, I will invite you. He said, Neder ze alecha dazmanis. Meaning... it's Mashma, the guy that said yes, which is the host, said yes, I will invite you, and I'm making this netter on you. Neder ze alecha das manis. I think this is just the sentence, and he explains it afterwards, that this is going like, I ban myself from your property if I'm not going to eat by you. So this is his strength, stressing the fact that he wants to eat by the guy. So this, he meant it. He meant to say, I'm going to come eat by you. I want to eat by you. I don't want to eat somewhere else. And if I don't end up eating by you, I'm making a netter asking my nob, because I want to make sure that you're going to stick to your invitation. This is not Zruzin, this is real. Yes, sir, okay, I'm a blessed by Yaakov. He said a bigger Kiddush. I'm a Chaveray, Skylim Shani Nenali, Imiyatim Sarah Hetzli, Vetrachel Imi Paschama, Vetishti Imi Kreschamen, Valo Hikvit Negdai, and the guy said, Hikvit Kenegdai means, he said, what's Hikvit Kenegdai? How's he translated? Sorry?
He fell with him. This again.
Meaning the guy didn't want to eat there. And this guy is saying, unless you come to eat with me, I will make a netter. Avelu nidre zuizunen. Vayhoidu loichachabem. That's the point that we're bringing out here. We wanted to know the chacham arguing Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. This is the case of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov where he made a netter to get the guy to eat here. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov considers it nidre zuizun. We didn't know whether the chacham argue or not. Says here clearly, the chacham didn't agree. Right? What?
Does that mean they argue in all these cases?
Well, it was only which other cases?
All the cases were very
hot, very
handsome, deep, and
having
to do with asking people to eat by
it. That's the shayla. Love, isn't it? That filu bekamaisa. That is even in the case of the meaning. Again. I don't know why this morning it's not clicking. Let's try again. I'm a blessed by Yaakov. I'm a chaveray. Kainim shani nenaloch. I will not give you pleasure. Imiyatim esarach etzli. V'taychalim yipaschama v'tishtim yipaschaman. So this is different. This is different than the case before. Because the case before was, he said to him, you can't have pleasure from me if you don't come eat by me. I will ban your pleasure from me if you don't come eat by me now. That Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said is Nidre Zuzin. Here he added a new case. The guy said, I will have pleasure from you if you don't come eat by me. It's a different case. The first case that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov talked about was the guy said, if you don't eat by me today, I'm making an usher, you'll be usher my hana. That Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said is using this as a way to get the guy to come to eat. How about if he says, I ban myself from pleasure if you don't come and eat? That, you could say, less Zeruzin, because he's banning himself, right? So there, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said it's Zeruzin, and there, the Rabbanan said, it means it. Now the question is, does that mean the Rabbanan argue in the other case as well? Because let me get explained. When you say, you'll be usher from me if you don't come eat, that's more Zeruzin. I'm trying to get you to come. The guy says, I'll be usher from you if you don't come. That's less Zeruzin. That could be because Lav Kalbana. I don't want to have a one-way relationship. I want you to eat for me as well. I don't want to be a recipient only. So the question is, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said that's Zeruzin. The question is, did Rabbanan argue on that? My Lav, Lav, that's a little bit Kamaisa. Even in the first case, when he used that, you'll be out there for me. Shmamina. So we learn from this. It means it's a good proof. Dr. Rashbam. Dr. Rush. My lab, Philip Bekamaisa. Now, the Rush has a girsa, Loi Bebasraisa. The Gemara answers it's not a proof. Because, Loi Bebasraisa. Maybe the Rabbanan only argue in the case where he's answering himself, not when he's answering the other guy. The Shiny Hoch, Kibushama Shari Nen Aloch. I won't have pleasure from you. That's a serious matter. But could be when he says you'll be answer from me if you don't come and eat. Right? Maybe that is Rusin. That's right. Dr. Gemara Tashima, my have Allah. What's the maskarma? The Amar of Huna, Halachic Krebless of Yaakov, the Chain Amar of Arabahava, Halachic Krebless of Yaakov. Dr. Rush, Mustama Masnis and Koi. If we say Halachic Krebless of Yaakov, we're going back to the case of the Mishnah. That's what we're assuming. It's a Raya, Alma Pligi, the Hokusik of us. See, if he was going on the bright side, it wouldn't prove anything. But usually, Amarom go back to the Mishnah. And they say, Allah Kablas of Yaakov. You wouldn't have to pass him like him if everybody agrees. So you see 2 points. Number one, you see the Rabbanan argue and say, using it for making a guy eat is a serious matter. Only by business do we say it's Zuzin. And second of all, we know how we pass him like Kablas of Yaakov. Allah Kablas of Yaakov. We move on to the second case of Nedarim that are meaningless, that don't count. Nidri Havai. Now, the word Havai, according to the Rush, means exaggeration. Nedarim that are made with an exaggeration. Case. Amar kainim em leisi baderach hazeh ka'ilim mitzrayim. The guy says, I banned this piece of bread if I didn't see as many Jews as Eilim Mitzrayim. Now, he did not see 600,000 Jews. He was trying to say he saw a big crowd. And he used the word Eilim Mitzrayim. Now, if you take it literally, he did not see Eilim Mitzrayim. He should be ushered the piece of bread. But that's not what he meant. He used Eilim Mitzrayim as an exaggeration. And therefore, it's a non-netter. Zuck the Rush. Kainidri Havai. Kamai. Begimu Makaimus. Dibru Chachamim Lashon Havai Perigid Anasha. The Gemara Chulin says there are 3 times the Rabbanan spoke Havai. What does that mean? Kalimah Guzma, exaggeration. Sfat Yeser, adding, making it sound more than it was. Bechein Zeh Haisav Amashara, Ka'adam Shariah David Niflu Begadol. He saw something extraordinary. Maisav Leimer Yaisim Amashara, and he adds. Like he said, you can't believe what I saw now. The guy said, yeah, you saw it like a whole man. He said, I make a netter that if I didn't see this, now he didn't mean this exactly. He's exaggerating. It's prone to exaggeration. Large crowds can be called Eilim Mitzrayim, not because they are the number of Eilim Mitzrayim, but because people refer to large crowds in exaggeration. There were 1 million people there. No, there were not 1 million people there. But it's a way of people express themselves that means the netter is not chal. He never meant it literally. If I didn't see an amount of people like Eilim Mitzrayim. But, or the next case in the Mishnah, let's go to the Mishnah. Is a snake in a certain shape. The Gemara says it has ridges in its back. I don't know much about snake. You didn't see such a snake. It doesn't exist, the Gemara is going to say. Never happened. But it's an exaggeration. You want to say you saw an unbelievable snake. You say, Mamasha looked like a beam of the olive press. It did not look like the beam of the olive press. And everybody knows it didn't look, you didn't mean that it looked like a beam of the olive press. We don't say he meant what he said. He knows that this is not real. People like to exaggerate things. Therefore, keyword here. That by the Dorim you follow people speak. People speak, Eilim Mitzrayim doesn't mean 600,000 people. It does, but it doesn't. Not when people speak. People speak, the guy says, I saw this fabulous snake. It was like a beam of the olive press. No, it wasn't. And you know it wasn't. And you're just trying to exaggerate about how different that snake was.
But why don't you look at it like, he meant it. He's just exaggerating. Well, why do you make it? He didn't mean it. I mean, he exaggerated.
You're right.
But he
Did he see 600,000 people? I'm asking a question.
No, he didn't.
He said the Netter should be Chalb. He doesn't see 600,000 people.
Again, but...
Again, is the Netter Chalb or not?
It's because his words were not... He meant what he said, meaning he is...
You want to know what if he didn't see any crowd? What are you asking?
What I'm saying is...
I want to know, do we take his words literally?
But Machshava wants to... You don't care what he thinks?
I'm trying to figure out what to do. I'm scared to understand you.
What's he trying to do? Maybe he's trying to ask for the food.
Yeah, he should let him ask for the food. What is he saying? This condition that's not literal. Can't happen. Why is he saying this?
And people don't talk for no reason. What's the thing about people don't talk for no reason? Whatever happened to that?
Again. The guy was at the CMHS. What's it called, Meadowland.
Right.
He was in Meadowland by the CMHS. There were 100,000 people there.
Okay.
He calls his friends in
Australia.
He calls his friends in Australia. He said, you can't believe the million people I saw there. There's a million people. He says, I'll usher myself in the bread if I didn't see a million people today. Now, he didn't see a million people today. He knows he didn't see a million people today. He meant I saw a large crowd. An extraordinary large crowd. That's what he meant. But he said a million people. It's an exaggeration. He never meant a million people. He knows he didn't mean a million people. He didn't see a million people. But in his mind, he's so taken by this, and he wants to get the point across what a large crowd it was. He says there were a million people there. Ever hear about the Million Men March? They have 25,000. They go to a Million Men March.
is he not Rabbi?
Hold one second, Harvey, yes.
Can you
hire
to carry out that
nether? Again, the nether, is that bread usher? That's the question.
That's what I'm asking.
No, because he never meant, everybody knows that in people speak, saying you saw a million people doesn't mean you saw a million people.
But he saw a large crowd.
That's exactly, you're right. So he had to have seen a large crowd. You're right. The bread is awesome, he didn't see a large crowd. But that's not what he said. He said, the bread is awesome, I didn't see a million people. In the case of the mission, they didn't see 600,000 people. It doesn't mean the words he said, because the words are exaggeration, and everybody knows it's an exaggeration.
It didn't just large crowd, what happened?
Then the bread is us, sir. Translate million people to large crowd. But he said a million people. He didn't see a million people. The answer is it's an exaggeration. He knows he's exaggerating. Everybody knows he's exaggerating. He knows, of course he knows he's exaggerating. When was the last time somebody saw a million people? In fact, Jim Farsham said you can't even see a million people.
Who knows what the guy in Australia knows about snakes in America?
Again, you're dealing with something we know nothing about, so therefore you have questions. If you knew snakes, you wouldn't ask the question. Obviously, the mission is talking about people that knew snakes. Right? You tell me something about snakes, I have no idea. But with the mission is talking about people that knew it was an exaggeration. That's what the Rush says. The Rush says, keep it down, but the Dharam Halahakabash from the other. Yes, Harvey.
So what if there's a subjective component to the statement and the netter? In other words, just as an example, a woman says to her friend, my fiance is as handsome as Yosef HaTzadik. No, we know how the Torah describes him as beautiful. Her friend looks at this guy and thinks to herself, no, that's not the case. But she believes he really is. She's in love.
Again, if that were happening, I don't know how anybody knows the answer to Yosef HaTzadik. How could this woman say that?
So we know that there was no one as modest as Moshe Rabbeinu. And right. Someone says about someone else, so-and-so is as modest as Moshe, whatever it is.
Yeah,
whatever it is.
Rush stresses two points. He stresses that the guy never meant it. He understood he was exaggerating. That's the person themselves. And that everybody else around them understood it was an exaggeration.
Okay.
So in your case, the guy meant it. I mean, I have rachmanas on this lady that thinks her fiancé is as humble as Moshe Rabbeinu, but it doesn't make a difference. If that's what she really believes, then she meant it. We're talking, the Rush okay. says two reasons why this doesn't work. Because the person saying it knew he didn't mean it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else knows they didn't mean it.
Everybody knows these are just colloquial expressions of how and this is how people interact.
Exactly. This is how people express themselves.
Okay.
Back to Gemara. Tana. Now we hear this in Machlokes and Girsa. We go with the Rush's Girsa, which is the way we have in our Gemara. Tana Rabba Tana. We learned in the Braisa. Nidre Avoy Mutarim. Shvuas Avoy Asurim. If this were an oath, and the Gemara is going to explain the case of the oath in a minute, there it's Asur. Why? If it's an exaggeration, it's exaggeration. Zok to Rush. Tana Nidre Avoy Mutarim. Have a shvuah savoy asurim. Mishum the shvuah chamira tvei. A shvuah stricter. Hilke chamira lesser midrabanan. The Rabbanan said that even though he didn't mean it, and even though everybody knows he didn't mean it, but the Rabbanan say, shvuah? We're dealing with oaths, which is layinaka, which is much more severe. There we ban that shvuah. We say, you're asur. We can't, we are much more careful in the use of oaths than we are in the use of neder. Because it's a more severe avera.
This is an oath?
An oath is a more severe... I didn't give you the case yet. But if a guy made an oath with an exaggeration, it's usher. Even though he knows he's exaggerating. And even though everybody else knows he's exaggerating. But the Rabbanan made an isser. The Yetzvarim Garsim, Shem Shenidri Avai Mutarim Kapshuas Avai Mutaris. There are those Gemaras that said that Shuas is the same as Nadaris. Yes. Dr. Gemara, Heichi Dami Shua Savai. What is, how is Shua Savai? What is the case? Ilei Madami Shua Kimloi Reisi Baderech Hazeh. I swear that I saw Eilei Mitzrayim. So what we do? Who cares? Midam Gami, he's not banning anything. What's he ushering? He never said anything's usher. The guy says, I swear to you, I saw 600,000 people. Okay. So what does it mean he's usher? He's usher to make the shvua? That's not what it's saying. It's saying he's usher. The consequence is he's usher. Usher in what? He never said anything should be usher. He just said he swore on a fact, and the fact happened to be not true. Like, Elay Madame Shvua, meet him come, is he saying anything? Is there any consequence to this? Elay Madame Shvua, Mlai Reese, Vidal, Zabit, no, he's a shum dover, all of Dr. Rush. Not banning anything. Ambulash has a shvua klau. We don't say he lied, because he didn't lie. Amar Abaya, the Amar Shvua Shereisi. He said, I swear that I saw. Meaning, it's usher to make such a Shua. Not that there are any consequences to it, but he's swearing that he saw. See, the first case was, I swear that if I didn't see, there has to be a, if you didn't see what? If you stop right there, it's nothing. That is, he swore that he did see. And when we say, usher, he's forbidden to make such an oath. That's what we mean. Not that there's any consequence, but it's prohibited to do a thing like that. Zok to Gemara Amalei Rava, Imkei Lami Lila Meimar. So Rabbi said, so why is it we have to say that? Meaning, Rami Lila Meimar, why? Meaning it should be, the way they explain it is, that it should be mutter to do this. The Rush doesn't explain the Lomi Lila Meimar. Meaning, the guy swears that he saw 600,000 people. So Abaye said that's usher to do. So Rava claims, Lomeli Lameimar, why do you have to tell me that the person's not allowed to do that? It should be self-obvious that a person should not be making shuas for no reason. I swear that I saw 600,000 people. Why should he be allowed to do that? I mean,
really?
What? What do you have?
I have the same page. The third wide line.
Yeah, I have. We have the same thing. But I'm not saying the rush doesn't explain this line, I said. It explains the next line. I don't have a rush on this line. He explains the void. The next question Rabbi has. Lomeli Lameimar. How does Archko explain Lomeli Lameimar?
Why do I need the brisa?
Why do I need the brisa? What?
Why do I need the brisa?
Does he say any more? Does he explain any more than that?
No, 11. According to your explanation, Rabbi Dan's group really, I simply want to wish the prayer takes an oath on that something true, although expressed hyperbolically, has really happened. Why does the bride have to teach such an oath? It's committed wrong. Abaye helped the bride. Does use hyperbole, even in the case of Shavuot. Rabbi, however, feels that this would be unnecessary for the price of teaching. Ron's explanation here obviously does not fit with the alternative reading of the price so found in our edition of the Gemara. Oaths of exaggeration are forbidden. According to that alternative reading, the price has to teach us that it is rabbinically forbidden to use hyperbole in an oath. An explanation of the remainder of the sugya, according to the alternative reading, will be in the 16.
Can I borrow it?
Note 11.
No, I don't need note 11. I need note 16.
Okay. Note 16 is the next page. Nice short one. It's Ron or Ron's book. Oh, she's clean.
So you said, the way I said, that it's obvious that you're not allowed to make oaths with hyperbole. Meaning, oaths are more, it's not a necessary thing to say that people should not use oaths if it's not exact. That's what the Gemara is, that's what Rav is saying. Rav is saying, I don't see a reason to rise in and teach me that you shouldn't use exaggerations in oaths. Everybody knows that in oaths you have to be more careful. That's the way they explained it according to this Gersa.
Isn't that what Rav is saying on the second line of the Y-Lap? This is what people speak. It's not an exaggeration. This is what people speak.
Right. I don't know what you're exactly. Right, 100%.
It's the way people speak. It's not an exaggeration that he's making it up. It's
again, but still, the way the Rav is questioned, according to this Girsa, is that Rav is saying it's obvious that you shouldn't use things that are not exact when you're making an oath. It's not something that has to be taught. We know oaths are more severe. And therefore, even though in Nenner it's not chal, but you shouldn't be doing it. And that's what Abaye said it means when it says Shavua Nasura. You shouldn't do it. V'yait. And then furthermore, Zodravat Abaye, Dum Yud Nenner Skun. Isn't the case of Shavua Nebraisa analogous to the case of Nenner where there's a consequence? Let me explain what's happening here. I'm going to explain it like the Rosh Hashanah. Let's just leave it right on the side. The Braisa came along and said, just like when a person makes a neder using exaggeration, it doesn't have consequence. If he says, I ban this piece of bread on myself, if I didn't see 600,000 people, we say he never meant 600,000 people, and everybody understood that he didn't mean 600,000 people, therefore he can eat the bread. The same thing is true by oath. Now we're trying to figure out, what is the case of oath? Is it that he swore that he didn't see 600,000 people? Yeah, 100%, I agree with you. You didn't see 600,000 people. What does that mean? That it's usher. Is he swear that he did see 600,000 people? Right. That's what Abaye says. And that the Bryce is telling me it is forbidden to swear that you saw 600,000 people. Even though you and everybody else knows you didn't meet 600,000 people, you don't make swears like that. Dr. Abba, I don't need a Bryce to tell me that you shouldn't be oathed using hyperbole. You shouldn't use it. Of course you don't use it. It's not necessary to tell me that. Furthermore, it's not analogous to the case of Neder. Neder, we're talking about whether you can eat the bread. And Shmuel is talking about what you should have done. It's not the same case. Be'ayin, dum yid neder k'tani. El amar Rava, ba'aymer yesru peres aylam alai b'shvua. I swear not to eat these produce. Im lo'y re'im si b'derech ha'zeg lo'y l'mitzrayim. He makes an oath like he makes a neder. A neder, he bans the bread if he didn't see 600,000 people. A shvua, he makes an oath on the bread if he didn't see 600,000 people. They're exactly the same case. He's using the seeing 600,000 people as a condition for the oath. And the Bryce is telling me that even though a neder, we know it's an exaggeration, and we know he didn't mean it, and he can eat the bread, by shvua, the Rabbanan came along and said, you can't eat the bread. That's what Rav is saying.
No, no.
You're smart. You figured it out.
No. Why would we... The only difference is on the Chefsa or on the Gavra. It's all the same. It has to be the same dimion. It has to be the same wording. I mean, the same...
That's what Rav is saying. That was Rav's kashrut abaye. The way you're learning, it's not the same. Dr. Rosh, why do you need that study? The mashma oyster driver all of Yeshua can be better. That he's banning something. Yes, who parents are alive, Yeshua and Bairisi. The Avagav, Shadarach Ailam Nikolam Rav, Kiyaitz and Mitzrayim. Even though this is normal, and everybody knows he didn't mean it, and he knows he didn't mean it either. Mishum Chum and Yeshua, Sinalei Alei. Well, the Idach Yedishna, according to the Lashon that says it's Mutter, Kamash Malan, the Lama Fagina Benadar Mishua. One gears that says we don't differentiate, and one gears that says we do differentiate.
Differentiate by
whether the Rabbanan made an Isser on the Shua, even that the bread is Usser. That's the question. Did the Rabbanan stricter by Shua than by Neder? Even though he didn't mean it. And even though everybody knows he didn't mean it. But he's playing with Shua, so we're more severe.
Now, playing with Shua is more severe because Lo Yanakim, right?
Right.
That we're asking, that is a fact. The question is,
should
we take that?
Did they? Not should we. Did
the Rabbanan take that to the next step?
Right. Zogdi Gemara, Ravina, Ravashi. The Dilma Haigav Rakina, the Shumshim, the Yukhashu, the Chazav. The Asaglan Shema, Yoylam Mitzrayim. The Shaper Mishtava. You know, maybe he saw a, what's it called? They have ants, a whole colony of ants.
Ant-field.
What?
Ant-hill,
okay. A lot of ants. And he named ants. Oh, these are my Eilim Mitzrayim. Maybe he nicknamed his ants. When you talk about people, it's an exaggeration. When you talk about ants, you're naming them. You can name them Freddy. You can name the ants John. You can name them whatever you want. He's naming this ant. Is these so many ants? He says, Mamish, these are my Eilim Mitzrayim. Exactly. Maybe that's what he means, and it's a good letter. A good shua. Why are we answering it? Dr. Rush. Shumshin Bechazer, Ron the Molim Harbe. So a lot of ants. Behelam Eilim Mitzrayim. Umedai Teshadrika Mestaba. He's calling him Eilim Mitzrayim because that's how he nicknamed him. Bimamashu Kelam Eidinema. He's saying, I saw Eilim Mitzrayim. He named ants Eilim Mitzrayim. Zok de Gemara, Amalai, ki mishtaba daita didat mishtaba. You don't use your nicknames in the Shua. It's worthless. When you use words the way people understand you to mean. That you named your pet dog Eilim Mitzrayim, and then you said, you saw Eilim Mitzrayim, I'm sorry. That's not what you do. That's not what people call Eilim Mitzrayim. You named your dog Eilim Mitzrayim, you named your aunt Eilim Mitzrayim, has nothing to do with Yeshua. When you make Yeshua Eilim Mitzrayim, you mean people, and you mean a number of people, and therefore, That's why the shua is different. That's why by shua we say it's an exaggeration of whatever the halacha is. But we don't say that he did see Eilat Mitzrayim. He saw his dog, who he named Eilat Mitzrayim. Zokta Gemara. And we don't talk that way. Zokta Rush. We don't trust him that he meant his dog. The Avagav, Trek the Rush. When the guy came and said that he said Chayrim, he meant netting. We didn't have any problem with that. Even though that's not usually the way that people speak. The Avagav, the Masnitzim, Emily, the other Bechayrim, Shiyam, the Bechabonis, Melachim, and the Kabonis, he meant presence. Einze Meshuna Kolkach. That's not off the deep end. That's the third translation in Webster's. But in Eilat Mitzrayim, nobody says name of anthill. It's not one of the translations in the Webster's. That's him. Made it up. It's ridiculous. Zaktigamai Viter. Vaudaita the Napshal Abadinish Mishtaba. Is that true? You're telling me that when people swear they mean with the words what people think they mean with the words, and they can't have strange meanings, that that's what they claim they meant? I'll prove to you that we are worried about such things. Why? The Tanya we learn. She must be in Isai when they make a person swear in Bezen. I'm Ramlai, have you a day shaloy al tanai shabalibchon or must be in Maitra. I want you to know that we are making you swear on our translation of the words. Meaning, as the Gemara will explain, the guy can name chips money. In his mind, he calls wood chips money. And then he says, you know, I paid you back the money. Now he meant I gave you wood chips, which might be true. He calls wood chips money. He didn't lie. He named wood chips money. And now he swears I paid back the money. Now, he didn't pay back money. He paid back wood chips, which are worthless or very little. And he's swearing that he paid back the money because in his mind, he decided that. So we tell him, no. Words mean what we think they mean. Now, why do we have to tell him that? If everybody that makes an oath, the halacha is, means what people think it means, and he can't come along with a strange translation, so why does Bezen have to warn him? Not necessary to warn him. It's true by a guy making a shua in his backyard also. Mashma, that in your own shuas, you can do whatever you want. When you're swearing here in Bezen, you better do it our way. That's what we're telling you. But if the halacha was every shua, we take the words the way Webster translates them, and we don't allow for your own translation, so then it doesn't have to be said in Bezen. Nobody says chips are money. So what do we have to explain that to him? By the fact that we do have to tell him in Bezen, is mashma that out of Bezen, he can claim he means whatever he meant. Right? The natural of an innocent mishtaba, but tiny shemash be an eyesight. When they make him swear in Bezen, I'm a boy. Have you a day? Shalaya tonight should believe Cholam must be a mitzvah. We're not accepting your translation. El adatenu v'adas Bezen. We're accepting our das and das Bezen shomayla. That's how some translate the words Adas Bezen. I mean, Bezen is telling him that, right? So they translate it to mean, and what upstairs they think people mean. Lafuke mai, Bav Lafuke, the Atiglulis, Skundra, he took chips. I think Skundra is chips. What's he called, Skundra? Archwell. I said chips, it could be toys or.
Wooden chips.
Wooden chips. The article Shemazuzi, and he called it money. Or maybe come out that no, since we have to tell him that. Michal Dovin is the Mishtaba, I did an upset. Everything in my life. We don't have to tell him that words mean what we think they mean. They always think what words mean what people think they mean. If a person uses words, he uses it the way people you think he uses it. Now, there might be multiple translations in Webster's, but if there's no multiple translations, he cannot make up his own words. Anthills aren't gates of Mitzrayim, and chips aren't money. You know what we're worried about? Something else. Afuke Mikanya de Rava. The story of the case of the stick, the staff of Rava. What happened? Now, who got rid of a Masik Bechavre Zuzi? There was a person.
1 minute to sunrise.
Somebody's owed him money. Asul came to Rava. He called the guy to Rava. Amalei Leiva. So Rava said to the Leiva, Zilpar. I'm sorry. The the creditor, the exposed, alleged creditor, said, Zoparli, pay me. Amalei praticha, I paid you. Amalei rava, imkezilushtabalei de parate. Go swear that you paid him. Now, if he was made apart, it would be a biblical shua. If he denied the whole thing, it would be a rabbinic shua. Amalei rava, he swear. Azuv aizekanya. So the guy went and took the staff. Yosef Zuzi Begave, he hollowed it out, and he put the money in the stick. And then, and he came with the staff, leaning on it as if he can't walk without it. He walks into Bezin, ready to make the shua, has the staff, in the staff is the money. And Amr Le Lamalva, he says to the Malva, can you do me a favor? Can you hold my stick while I make the shua? But not the Sefer Torah, the Ishtaba, the Pare, took the Sefer Torah, and he swore that he paid him. So what did he pay him? He did. He handed him the stick with the money. The money is already given over. He didn't lie. So what happened is, he paid him the whole debt. Ahu Malva Ragat, the creditor, got very angry. The Tavrila Ukanya smashed the stick. Ragam, Vishtabakhanizuzilara. And all the coins came flying out. So therefore, Ishtakak the Kush Ishtaba. He swore truthfully. So that's what we want to take care of. So we say to him, Adatainu Vadas Bezan, is no stick. No giving him a stick. In a stick. Know that you have to pay for a regular way. Because the guy didn't lie. He swore that he paid him. He did. He gave him the money.
He didn't pay him yet.
He handed him the stick.
He handed it before he swore?
Yeah. He said, can you hold it while I swear?
Oh.
Handed it to him. And the guy swore that he paid him. It's a true shua. So avoid that. We say before we start, we have to understand what you mean. When we understand paid, it doesn't mean in the stick. That's why we make him. Not because he can make up meaning of words. But he can make up stick that he did it, even though he didn't do it our way. That's what we're warning him about. What would happen, now Graham want to know, if the Malva would have taken the stick and thrown it in the fire, or thrown it in the river? So angry, he threw it in the river, and it sank. Would he have to pay for the coins? He just was mouthing the guy's coins. He made him lose all that money.
It was there.
No, he didn't.
Well,
he did not know. He got the stick. He thought I was holding a stick. That's why he got angry. He swore falsely. He got angry. He smashed it. And there was the money. But Modi would he, if he took that stick and threw it into the river, because the guy said, you owe me the money now. You ruined my money. They talk about it, yes.
One remark in one statement. That might be parallel with something as Rabbi Greenblatt many years ago, which is when they were doing all these contests where you unscrewed the top of the coat and found out you got $25,000. Does the top of that 2-liter coat now become Cuts or Kiss? Or since it wasn't Muxa, Arab Shabbos, when Shabbos started.
This is a case of hyperbole. Nobody ever won $25,000 on that Coke bottle.
One person.
He said no. It stays bottle cap. Starts bottle cap. Stays bottle cap. But if I happen to disagree, but that's not the board enough for now. Yes, go.
Oh, okay. At least that's the way I remember.
Well, it's not like this. It's not like this, but I'm not going to get involved now. Yes, we're not going to go to the top now. Yes.
If I owed someone money and I gave them the amount of money, obviously got the money per se, on the condition that they hand it right back to me, have I paid them?
So he didn't give him the condition. He just, can you hold the stick?
No, I'm not saying.
I don't know. I would think not, but I don't know.
Underlying this, there is an implicit condition. Obviously, for just while I hold the stick. There is an implicit condition in that you will hand it back to me so I can walk away from the point at which I swear. So he was giving it to...
I don't know, but he didn't make that condition. He gave it to him.
Is it pleasant?
I don't know. I hear your concept, but I'm not sure. I hear.
I mean, have you ever given someone your wolf?
My cane. I'll stick that cane. I have a cane. I use a cane on Shabbos. Yeah, my cane.
I use a cane sometimes. But have you ever given someone a wolf on
Sukkot? That tree is black.
That's a way to talk about it and say there it's implicit. I don't know. I hear you. I'm not going to argue with you. I hear your question. I have to think about it.
It shouldn't say all that I owe you. I put your hand.
I gave you everything I owe you.
He
paid him everything that he had from him. Everything I had in my hand, the money you had given me, I paid you back.
He said, I paid you. So that means if the guy was not going to stick, we gave him back the stick. Then what would have happened?
But he swore for, truthfully.
Okay.
If the guy would have given back the stick.
Got it.
Then he would owe him the money.
All right. Please mute yourself. No, Chris.
Somebody to mute themselves, please. Yes.
If he gave back the stick, he would... Reuben gave Shimon the stick.
So he paid him.
He gave him the stick for money, and then Shimon gave it back to
him. So now Reuben owes him the money again. But he didn't swear falsely.
Is that called payment?
Again. He paid him the money.
He gave him the money to hold.
Again. So he paid him. He swore I gave you back your money.
Actually, Moses wanted
to serve. He said your question, the same question.
No, that's my answer.
I said I don't know. I said I hear the question. I have to think about it. Dr. Rush. Dr. Rush. Zafuki the Yavlas Kundri. Dovashim is Sakim by Metavlois. They play on tablets. So you played with chips. We have to say you mean our words, not your words. This is not changing meaning of word. He didn't give it to him that he should remain by him. But he did not lying. I gave you back the money.
But he would pay.
You're repeating the same question.
I don't know.
What do you want me to say? I said that's a good question, and I have to think about it. I don't know the answer. You're stressing the question again. What does the question mean? That the Gemara said something, and I don't understand what it meant. Why? That's what a question means. So I'm not saying the Gemara is wrong, Chas v'Shalom. The Gemara is right. And you have a good point, and I have to think about an answer. But as I said that, so repeating the question is not going to get me an answer any faster. His question is, the word I paid you doesn't sound like I gave it to you temporarily. He said, I paid you. Paid you should indicate permanent payment, not hold it for 5 minutes and give it back to me.
The guy received it, the bottom line right now, after he paid, said, I paid you, does he think the coins are in there?
No, he doesn't know.
He doesn't know, right? He does not know.
But we're saying that the shul was honest. Did he swear truthfully or not? It's a question.
Oh, but this other stuff that he has to pay for, he throws it out, is all secondary stuff.
Again. Yeah, I just mentioned that.
Yeah.
He gave him the stick. The stick had the money. He said to him, I swear that I paid you back the money. At the end of the day, Rav said he swore honestly. So what's bothering Dr. Schwab and Moshe is that how can you use the word paid? Paid indicates a permanent payment, not a three-minute hold of money. That's what's bothering them. They're concentrating in the word. If you swore I gave you the money, that would have been a very valid shua. What's bothering them is the word paid. Paid insinuates, means I gave it back to you permanently. Giving it to you for 5 minutes is not paying you. Asking you to hold it. That's what's bothering them. Obviously, the fire field that goes on the page, and that's what's bothering them.
It shouldn't be a shul.
And that shouldn't be a good shul, an honest shul. That's what's bothering them.
That's a good person for the fire service, so.